One of the most important things in my life is the scriptures. I really enjoyed Sophia quoting a scripture from heart. My goodness. I'll be honest with you. At that age, I would rather have died than to stand on a stage and say something. How many people, you know what I'm talking about? God bless her, amen? That's just wonderful. But as I look at the scriptures, you know, we all should have favorite scriptures, scriptures that have spoken to us and just mean something. And as time goes on, sometimes those scriptures change. You could have a new favorite scripture. But the scripture right now, in fact, it's been our theme scripture for the last 2 weeks. Normally, I have, you know, a theme scripture, then we move on to a different one. But I've left the same scripture for 2 weeks. And it's Revelation 3, verse 20. And it's Jesus speaking by the Spirit, and he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me." What a powerful scripture, but it really speaks of what's been going on for the last number of weeks here at Reach Out to show you that we are to be open to the Spirit of God. And how much more so? He's knocking on the door of our hearts, on the door of our lives. And we need to understand that Jesus, I believe, is always knocking on the door of our hearts. You know, the question is, are we hearing the doorbell? You know, are we hearing the knock, or are we just kind of about our lives, doing our thing, kind of not paying attention? Meanwhile, you know, he's ringing the doorbell, he's knocking, he's looking in the window, hey, you know, let me in. And you know, obviously we could say this speaks of salvation, but the context of that scripture in Revelation 3, he was talking to the church. He was talking to believers already. So that scripture is not talking about that initial meeting of the Lord Jesus Christ, but rather subsequent meetings. In other words, when he comes back and wants to talk to you and spend time with you. So the question is this: are you willing to open the door of your heart to hear from him? And last week we talked about that. We talked about different heart conditions that we can have. And we talked about the fact that, you know, some people believe that this refers to four different kinds of people. You know, people who are hardened and people who have rocks in their lives and, you know, people who have thorns in their lives and then people who have good soil. But I'm convinced that that's not what Jesus was intending. I believe he was talking about the condition of our hearts, that in all of our lives we've got some hard areas, we've got some rocky areas, we've got some thorny areas, and we've got some good soil areas as well. And that I believe that God was trying to tell us we need to cultivate our lives and grow in our lives to deal with the hardness and the rocks and the thorns. That God has called us to do our part so that we are open-hearted to him. And so last week, that's what I spent a lot of time talking about, to be open-hearted, knowing that heaven is open. And in a sense, that scripture speaks of that. Behold what? I stand at the door and knock. It's not like Jesus is 21 days away. You pray and then 21 days later he shows up. He's right there. You know, Pastor D talked about it. He's right here, right now, ready to do something in our lives right now to bring healing and wholeness and health into our lives in every dimension, physically and emotionally and spiritually. That's God's heart for us every single day. And so my question to you is, have you opened your heart to him? And you know what I'm talking about. You know, if you're a born-again believer, then you've opened your heart to salvation. And Jesus is living in your heart in that particular area. But what about in the area of your job? And you might say, oh, don't talk to me about my job. You know, because maybe you're having some difficulties there. Maybe it's the other people that are there. You know, the list goes on and on. But have you let Jesus into that part of your life? What about with your spouse? Oh, well, definitely don't go there. Have you let Jesus into that part? How about in the area of your finances? Have you let Jesus into that part of your life? You see where I'm going with this? Is that Jesus wants to be Lord of every area of your life. And it's not to be a killjoy. It's to make your life better. Here's what I've learned in the last 35 years of walking with Jesus. Every time I've let him into a new area of my life, I flourished. Now, I can't say it was easy, because to change habits, to change lifestyles, to change ways of thinking and attitudes, it's difficult. But when you allow Jesus to come into that area, you're not doing it in your own strength anymore. He's there to help you. And the word says this: he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's there and he'll help you through it. Don't let the enemy of your soul convince you that you can do better without Jesus in any area of your life. In fact, I'll ask you a question right now. How's that been working out for you? How's that going? Not so well, eh? Yeah. And it's because Jesus isn't being the main person in that part of your life. We need to allow him to be a part of it. So this week, we need another component to be able to prepare ourselves to hear from God. We need to have a right heart. We need to be open to Him. But there's another component, and I titled it, The Rest of God. Now, I titled it that way to be a little bit tricky with you, because if I actually used the title that would better describe it, some of you would be like, I don't need to hear about that. Yeah, I know all about that. So that's why I didn't do that. So it's called The Rest of God, and you're going to see where we're going to go with that in a few minutes. But if you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to Genesis chapter 2, we're going to begin there today. We have in Genesis 1 the creation story where you know, the Spirit of God is hovering over the waters of the earth, and God, you know, takes all the chaos and all the emptiness and brings land into being. He creates the vegetation. He makes the sun and the moon. Finally, his crowning finish is to make humans to rule and reign. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? And so we pick up just after all of that, and we are in Genesis 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. So here we have God. This is the creator of the universe, creator of everything that we can see and can't see. So 6 days he works, day and night, until the seventh day. And what does he do? It says he rested. Now, the first thing that comes to my mind is, does God need to rest? Does he get tired? You know, we know Jesus got tired when he walked on the earth, right? You know, it says he got tired. He sat down by a well. He got tired and brought his disciples in and talked to them. So we see that Jesus, the man Jesus, got tired. But I am convinced that I don't think God gets tired. So what does it mean when he talks about him resting? Well, for God, I believe that we need to look at the original word. And the word there is Sabbath. Literally, that's what it is. When he rested, he Sabbathed. So what does that mean? Well, it means to rest from your toil, to rest from work. So we get that, all right? So we go with that. But another word that's used to describe it is the word repose. Now, that's not a word I use much of. I can't remember ever using that word, ever. But when I looked it up, the word repose was there. So I looked that up to see what it kind of means. And it means to settle down, to stop and take stock of what's around you. So here's how I picture it. So again, you get... Give me some, a little bit of liberty here, all right? So here's God. He creates everything, 6 days, right? So on the seventh day, I believe that in heaven, he's got a porch. So he goes out on his porch with a glass of lemonade, and he sits down on an easy chair, puts his feet up, and he reposes. Wow, look at all that's going on. Look at all that I've made. And that's reposing, in a sense, just taking stock of what's going on, to just rest in what he has done for the 6 days. So what does this mean for you and I? Well, here's the thing. If God himself rested, then I believe that resting is a part of what our life should imitate as well. And so the word, or the number seven, is all through the scriptures and multiplications of it. And so we see, on what day did God rest? Seventh day. And so we see this showing up again where God begins to train the children of Israel in what it means to have a Sabbath day. You see, when they were in Egypt, they didn't have a Sabbath day. Every day they went out, made bricks. You know, that's what they did. And they came home at night. Next day they went out again. And isn't that much like the world, right? They're out making bricks every day, you know, and then they come home, and then they go back out again. But God has called us to be unique. Just as he called the Jewish nation to be unique, you and I are called to be unique in this world as well. And so with that in mind, jump over to Exodus chapter 20. Here we have God gives us the Big Ten. The big Ten Commandments, all right? Now, we're not going to read the entire thing, but what I want to give you is just, I'll give you the Ten Commandments. I highlighted them in my Bible so I can just read the actual commandment itself and not the description. So I'm in Exodus 20. And the first one, you're to have no other gods before the Lord. The second one, you're not to make yourself a carved image of any likeness or anything that is like God. The third one, you shall not take the name of the Lord God in vain. Fourth one, remember the day, the Sabbath day, and keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house or wife or anything. And so those are the Ten Commandments. Now, how many agree that those are good commandments to have, right? They're good, right? We should we as Christians today still abide by those commandments and still follow them? All right, so as I look at those, they divide up quite nicely. The first four reference God. They're our treatment towards God, in a sense, how we are to put him first in our lives. And then the last six is how we're to treat mankind, the people around us. And Jesus summarized the Ten Commandments. He didn't abolish them. He summarized them in Mark chapter 12, verses 30 and 31. He said this: you're to love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So what did he do? He didn't abolish the Ten Commandments. He condensed it down, basically saying, look it, you will do the first four if you truly love God, and you'll do the last six if you truly love the people around you. And so it's pretty clear that the Ten Commandments were still important to Jesus. How many people agree with that? All right. So if you murdered somebody, that's really bad, right? You know, you commit adultery, that's really bad. You get what I'm saying? You build a graven image, you know, worship it instead of God. That's really bad, right? Well, in the midst of all the commandments, look at verse 8. Exodus 20, verse 8. They'll put it up. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath, or a rest of the Lord, your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord God made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. You know, it's interesting that particular commandment, the Lord spends more time talking about than any of the other commandments. Yet it's probably the least commandment that we even think about. In fact, when we think of the Ten Commandments, how many people even think of that commandment? I'll be quite honest with you. It's like, yeah, it's in there somewhere. But the thing is, it's one of the big ten. So here's the thing. We would say, oh, man, you know, no, don't commit adultery. Don't murder. Don't steal. And we're like, definitely don't do that. And then we bring up the Sabbath, and they're like, Isn't that kind of how it is for many of us? I know it's been for me over the years. It's like, you know, Sabbath, okay, God, you know, okay. But are we treating it as one of the big ten? Are we treating it as important? Because here God's speaking about it right here. And here's the context of this. The Ten Commandments, when did God give them to the children of Israel? It was when they were in the wilderness, going from Egypt to go to the promised land. So they hadn't arrived yet. They weren't in the promised land. They were still on the road going. In other words, their life was still not perfect. You get what I'm saying? And so many times I've heard it said, hey, I'll celebrate the Sabbath. I'll spend more time with God when I arrive. Well, we're not going to arrive till we get to the pearly gates. You hear where I'm going? In other words, we are on a journey walking with Jesus from now until we breathe our last breath. And so in a sense, we're on our way to the promised land, on the way to promises. And for many of us, we are participating in those promises. We are enjoying those promises, but there's still more. How many people know there's still more? There's always going to be more in this life till we breathe our last, and then it's all given to us when we cross from this life to the next. Amen? And so back to this whole concept here. What he did, he began to tell them that you need to celebrate. You need to have a Sabbath rest while on the journey. Well, what's that say to us? It means we may not have arrived yet. We may not have the perfect job that we can maybe do the rest that we think we should do, or have enough money so we can rest. You know, the excuses go on and on. But here's the thing. God says he hallowed that day. He sanctified one day in seven for a reason. And it's not to be a killjoy. It's not to make our lives difficult. It's actually to help us in our life. I could go on and talk to you about studies, secular studies that have been done of countries that used to work 7 days a week and how their productivity is less than countries that work only 6 days a week. You know, it's a fact. So you even documented fact without Jesus included in it at all. How much more does it make sense that God knows what he's doing? It's interesting that the only reason the Sabbath, us having a day off now, you know, in the work world, is because of the Jewish tradition as well as the Christian tradition of having a day off. You can thank Jesus for that. You get what I'm saying? The question is, what are you and I doing with that Sabbath day? Are we treating it as our cleanup day? As the end of the day week where you didn't get done all the stuff you needed to do, so it's like, oh yeah, I got Sunday to do that. You know, yeah, you know, I'll get to church next week, you know, or I'll call my family later. In other words, are we seeing the Sabbath as just a cleanup day rather than the first day of the week as Scripture teaches us in the New Testament? So these are all real questions that we have to deal with. And again, if I had told you I was going to talk to you about the Sabbath day, you'd be like, maybe I'll skip church and cut the grass. Or you get what I'm saying? Because it's like, this isn't maybe real exciting, but I will tell you this, it's life-changing. See, it's the second component of being able to hear from God. You've got to give Him time. And God has set this up so that one day in seven, we are to spend time with Him. It's about Him. And actually, it's about Him and others. Think of the Ten Commandments. Where is the commandment of keeping the Sabbath? It's right in the middle between the God part and the people part. So I fully believe that it was put there for a reason, that the idea of the Sabbath is to honor God, spend time with Him like you are here, and those people online, or you're spending time with God right now in learning about Him and learning about His Word, and as well as, and I thank God for the Italian families that have the big meals Sunday afternoon, you know, and lots of other, you know, Greek families. I think they had something going, you know what I'm saying? The idea was that to spend time in fellowship with your family, with your brothers and sisters in the Lord, to encourage one another in the Lord. And that could include, again, I know that sports is a big thing on you know, a Sunday afternoon. Okay, great. But it shouldn't just be about that. It should be about the people you're hanging with, if you know what I'm saying. So the idea is it's about community. It's about communion. It's about honoring God and putting Him in His rightful place. And here's the thing. God had this happen once every 7 days. You know why? So we wouldn't forget Him. That's what it comes down to. And that's why God put it in place back in the Old Testament. So you might say, well, hold it. That was under the law. We're not under the law as Christians in the New Testament. Well, here's the question that I have for you. Is the Sabbath designed to be a commandment to let you not do things? Or a commandment so you can be blessed? You see, if you see the commandments, if you see those things in the Bible as Debbie Downers, as this, you know, this makes my life miserable, well, then you're going to feel that way. But if you see it as a way that God wants to bring you to good things, then that's what it should be. And the Sabbath and honoring the Sabbath is a good thing, all right? It's about you being healthy and whole. You know, Pastor D mentioned about being healed. Absolutely. And I believe in supernatural healing. I've seen it lots of times. But do you know that some of us, to get our healing, here's why we're not healed. We're not taking the Sabbath. We're not physically resting our body and taking care of ourselves like we should. Therefore, we're reaping the penalty of not obeying the commandments of God. It's not that God's doing this to us. We're doing it to ourselves. And so we need to recognize that the Sabbath rest is a critical component to a healthy Christian life. How's that going so far? You good with that? You know, to be honest with you, again, this isn't jump up and down stuff, but this is the basic tenets of our faith. If we're not doing the basic stuff, how can we believe for the supernatural what God's got for us? We need to do the basics that God's called us to do and recognize that we do what we can do and believe that God will do the rest. Amen? He is so faithful to do that. Okay, so we've talked about this in the Old Testament, and there's some people that say, well, the Sabbath is an Old Testament thing. It's not in the New Testament. Well, you're wrong if you think that, all right? It's all through the New Testament. So let's see what Jesus has to say about the Sabbath. Let's jump to Mark chapter 2. In Mark chapter 2, we have an account where Jesus is with his disciples on the Sabbath, and they're walking through a grain field. Anyone remember what they started to do? They were a little bit hungry. So they started pulling on the heads of grain and going like this with their hands to get all the chaff off the outside and eating it. Now, I've done this. I don't know whether I've done it on Sunday, but I've done it. I lived on a farm, and so I know how to do this. It's really cool. You can do it with wheat or barley or oats, you know, any crop like that, you can take and do that and eat. Now, I don't suggest you eat a whole lot of it. I'm not sure how that would be in your stomach, but you can definitely eat, you know, a small handful, and you'd be fine. And that's what they did. And the Pharisees got all bent out of shape, right? The scribes and Pharisees got all bent out of shape, and they said, what are you doing? You're dishonoring the Sabbath, you know, and their interpretation of it was that the disciples were threshing. They were harvesting. And that was their interpretation of it. Just so you know, that's not in the Bible. That's one of the extra traditions and one of the extra laws that were added to the Ten Commandments by the religious people. And so here's Jesus' response to that. And that's where I want to pick up. And it's in Mark 2, verse 27. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. And so here's what Jesus was trying to explain to the religious people. It's not about following rules or regulations about what you can't do or can do. It's about connecting to God. And in fact, Jesus said, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. You know what the word Lord means? Master. And so if he is the master, we're not. So the idea is we're servants to the master. And he's saying, look, I am the master of the Sabbath. In other words, the Sabbath should be about me, not about rules or regulations, not about what you can do or can't do. And so right away you might be thinking, okay, if I'm to be good on the Sabbath, it means, okay, I can't do any work. Okay, does that mean you're at your house, you're on your porch sipping your lemonade, and you see your neighbor struggling with their lawnmower cutting grass, all right? And maybe they're a believer, maybe they're not. And you're like, I'm just going to repose. I'm just going to rest and look around. And meanwhile, they're struggling. They fell down, you know, trying to start their lawnmower. And they're actually, I hurt myself. And you're like, no, I can't do any work. I can't go over and help them. Do you think Jesus would be happy about that? No, put your drink down, go over and help them. Because the idea, and Jesus talked about this in another account, he said, look, if your donkey fell down a well or someone got hurt, wouldn't you help them? And he even talked about healing and said, look, wouldn't you heal somebody? Wouldn't you do good on the Sabbath? Yes. So it's not about becoming religious about what you can't do and can do, but rather, what is the heart of Jesus? And are we doing it with him in mind in all that we're doing? So, I get asked this all the time. Should I be cutting grass on Sunday afternoon? It's a really good question, isn't it? Here's what I'll say to you. What would your neighbors think? Just an honest question. How would they perceive you cutting the grass? Now, in your mind, you might say, I like relaxing on the lawnmower. I put my headset on, listen to scriptures, and it's a relaxing event for you. So from your perspective, it may not be sin at all, but it comes down to, does your Sabbath look like something to the world around you, or does it look like every other day? It's just an honest question. The different other activities that we do, you know, does it bring honor to the Lord Jesus? In other words, I'm not saying that it's necessarily sinful from your perspective, but is this all about us, or is it about being a light to the world? And these, again, are some serious questions that we have to ask one another. That's why I'm not going to define every little nuance of what the Sabbath should be for you. Because what am I doing then? I'm just making up a bunch of rules and regulations, the same as the Pharisees did. That's not what I'm here to do. I'm here rather to suggest to you, is the Sabbath an important day to you? And what makes it different in your life from every other day? So with that in mind, I want to share three thoughts that I have concerning the Sabbath. And so this is just me. I'm going to say this isn't, you know, I believe God inspired me to do this, all right? But I just want you to hear what this is and see what it means to you. So let me just give you the first point. You know, what should the Sabbath look like to us as New Testament believers? Okay, first point. It's not to be the last day of the week, but the first day of the new week. And this is something to really consider in your life. It's not, Sunday should not be the finish up of your week, of, you know, dealing with the loose ends. Listen, you got Saturday for that. You've got evenings to do that. And you might say, but, stop the buts. Take a piece of paper and you start to write down, actually take account of your time. Be honest. Take account of all your time during the week. And you tell me that you don't have time for God on Sunday. And look me straight in the face after you hand me that list. You hear where I'm going with this? For most of us, especially nowadays with the internet and your smartphones and everything, do you know how much time all of us waste during the week? Seriously? I can't tell you how many times I went online to look up something. An hour and a half later, I'm like, oh my gosh. And I don't even remember what I went online to look for, and I've wasted an hour and a half of time. How many people have gone down that rabbit hole? You know what I'm saying? So my point is, we can manage our time better. Here's why. We need to honor God the first day of the week. And that brings me to another question. Should the Sabbath be on Saturday? Should it be on Sunday? Listen, stop thinking that way. It's to be one day in seven. In other words, 6 days of work, one day of rest. So for some of you, for example, for me, our church staff, it's Mondays. because I worked. Here I am. I'm serving you today. So for me, it's Monday. And in fact, if you want to get super religious about it, let me just shoot all that religiosity. We don't even know what day really is Sunday or Saturday. The calendar's been changed so many times because of leap year and the way the earth goes around the sun. It doesn't go around, you know, exactly 365 days of the year. It's messed up. And so the calendar's been changed. They actually took out half a week 400 or 500 years ago. So they literally went from like a Monday to a Thursday. So do you even know what day it is today? That's not the relevant part. It's one in 7 days. 6 days you work, and then the seventh day you rest. So pick a day. Figure out what day works for you. For me, it's Monday. You know, for you, it might be Wednesday. It might be Saturday. Whatever. Don't get caught up in the religiosity of it, but that you take that time off. Why? Because you and I need it. And so our Sabbath should be the first day of the week. See, that's why as you look at the Bible in the New Testament, it gets a little confusing. It would say on the Sabbath, the disciples went to the synagogue. And they would go there. And then it says, but on the first day of the week, they broke bread with their brethren. Well, okay. They went on the Sabbath, the Jewish Sabbath, to the synagogue to what? Share Jesus. They were just, it's like us on Saturday going out to witness. So that's what they went there for. So they weren't, quote, celebrating the Sabbath. They just went to the synagogue because that's when other people were there. And then on Sunday, which is the first day of the week, they would break bread together. The believers would come together. And so that's our Sabbath. So you hear where I'm going with this. It's two different things that they talk about in the scriptures. So our Sabbath is what? The first day of the week, or it's referred to at other times, the Lord's Day. And why do they call it that? Well, it was on Sunday that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. So you call it the Lord's Day. It's a time where the church, the New Testament church, would come together to celebrate the risen Lord. So for you and I as New Testament believers, though the terminology is a little different, the first day of the week or the Lord's Day is our Sabbath, our rest time, our time to repose, our time just to look at what God's done and meditate on Him, spend time with family and with friends. So let me move on to the next one, and it all fits together here. So the first one, not to be the last day of the week, but the first day of the week. Second point, to be assigned to God that you hallow Him, and assigned to those around you of your love and importance of the Lord in your life. So again, back to that whole thing, you know, and cutting grass on Sunday. If your neighbors are all cool about it and there's no issue, fine. But the thing is, if you feel that ping in your heart, I really shouldn't be doing this today, then don't do it. That's the Holy Ghost convicting you, because for you, that's sin. You see where I'm going with this? That's the cool thing about walking with Jesus. He's a personal guide. So if you're doing something you shouldn't be doing, He'll let you know. Remember the knock? He's knocking. He wants to talk to you and explain things to you. And so when you feel that on the inside, stop and say, Lord, you know, what's going on here? And let Him speak to you, because He wants to help you. Not only to help you love Him, but to help you love others. And so it's a sign. The Sabbath is a sign to the world that God will bless us. Think about the children of Israel. Here they are. They had to go out 6 days a week to get manna, right? Now, what happened if they took extra manna during the 6 days? What would happen the next day? It would rot. Wouldn't work, right? But on the sixth day, what could they do? They could take a double portion, double amount, and guess what? On Sunday, there was more than enough. You see, when we as believers honor God with the Sabbath and work only the 6 days a week, and yet we're blessed as much or more than those working 7 days of the week, guess what? That's a sign. That's a sign not only to God, but to the world that this thing works. And so that's what we need to understand, that we're not doing this. It's not just about us. It's about being an example to the world around us. And so it's sad, you know, as I look at Christendom, you know, in general, I see church now as like, if I feel like going or if I got time, I'll go. But I got other stuff I have to do. That's not the way it should be. You know, our connecting with God, here I'm preaching to the choir and those online, you're watching, so you're connected. Same as those here. You see church as important. And it is important, but it's only a small part of what your Sabbath should be. You know, please don't come to church saying, I've done my hour and a half of service. I've done my service to God and I'm done. No, it's a part of your Sabbath day. You know, if you've got family in the area, what a great way to connect the family. That Italian concept, Sunday afternoon meal together. You know what I'm saying? To spend time in fellowship and communion together. You know, with friends and family. You know, you have friends as well. Not all of us have people that are family. But you've got your church family. got fellow believers. It's a wonderful thing to spend time in fellowship on a Sunday or whatever other day of the week is your Sabbath day. But to make it holy unto the Lord as well as a sign to those around us. And the final point I want to make, the Sabbath is not just to be an absence of work, but of the presence of God. It's about spending time with your Lord, your family, and your friends. So, so important for us as believers to do that. Now, I'm going to leave you with a scripture. In Revelations 1, verse 10, the Apostle John says this, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. You see, when we open our hearts to the Lord and then we give him time on the Lord's day, he'll speak. And that's not an obscure scripture. All through scripture, it talked about God doing signs and wonders and miracles on the Sabbath. Why? Because people were giving time for God to move in their lives. Let's stand together. We're going to pray in just a moment. Let me ask you this question. How important is the Sabbath to you? Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you're working like a Hebrew slave, you're going to either physically die or have all kinds of health issues and or be spiritually affected in a negative way. Because when you go against the word, it will not go well with you. And it's not that God's judging you. It's not about that at all. It's in a sense, you've got to follow his truths, his principles for it to work in your life. Amen? All of God's promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. But all of God's promises are conditional. It's upon us to do our part so God can do his. Amen? I don't know about you, but I need his supernatural blessing. Anybody else here? You know, don't you want your 6 days of work to be blessed so you can have that seventh off? You see, it's not that God's going to curse you. It's that God's not, that's just not the way it is. But in a sense, we bring the toil upon ourselves. I've done the 7 days of work. And you know what happens? All 7 days, after a while, you become half asleep. You become unproductive. Your attitude really sucks. I've been there. I've done all of this. I've been around for a few years, all right? But when I've taken that Sabbath, taken that time to just rest in him, to repose, to seek his face, to spend time with family, it energizes me to do the next 6 days of work. It just brings everything into order. It's miraculous. It's the only way I can say it. It's a miraculous event. It's supernatural. So Father, right now, I lift up every single person here. And I pray that we don't take the Sabbath as just kind of an option thing, but see it as part of the Big Ten, as part of the commandments, the Ten Commandments, as being an important priority. And again, to bless us, that as we follow this commandment, that Lord God, there's blessings that come out of it, not just for that day, but for the other 6 days of the week. So Lord, I speak a blessing on those that are here right now that see the Sabbath as important. And Lord, I pray that they can maybe begin to change some of the priorities to even make it a higher priority. And I pray for those watching online that they see the importance of the Sabbath, of that day of rest, that day of repose, Lord God, of just seeking your face and helping those around us. So Father, I pray right now that the Sabbath becomes a component in our lives that will change not only us, but those around us. Lord, we need to hear from you, and the Sabbath is one way. During that rest time, when we give you time, that's one way you speak to us. So we ask right now, speak to us, Lord. Guide us and direct us. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be open to you, our time would be open to you, so that, Lord God, we can hear from you. So bless each person this week. I pray you make yourself more real, even today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you'd like prayer for anything, we would love to pray with you today. God bless you.